the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Will Hurd, who represents the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. It's one of the smallest districts. No, it's not. It's one of the largest districts you'll find. He's also chairman of the House Oversight Subcommittee on Information Technology and vice chair of the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Border and Maritime Security. Do you put all that on one card?
I try not to, because I take it all up. You can't put my phone number on it.
So, great background for those who don't know. I'll just encourage them to go and see your biography. But it really works into that idea of border security, if you will. You've been talking about that, and again, with that I think 800 miles, is that right, along the Texas-Mexico border, it really will affect your district.
It will, and I talk about this issue a lot, partly because of my background experience. As you were alluding to, I spent 9.5 years as an undercover officer in the CIA. I was the guy in the back alleys at 4 o'clock in the morning collecting intelligence on threats to the homeland, so chasing Al-Qaeda and stopping Russians from stealing secrets, things like that. And having the largest border of any member of Congress, 821 miles to be exact, border security is important, and we can secure our borders. But building a wall from sea to shining sea is the most expensive and least effective way to do border security. Also, most folks in Texas don't want their land taken through eminent domain to build a big concrete structure. What we should be doing is using more technology along the border and having more agents within Border Patrol. For example, in El Paso sector, the border is broken up into sectors. The El Paso sector has 300 miles. Only 60 miles has cameras and technology permanent to monitor it. That's crazy. And that technology is 20 years old. So we can be increasing the kind of technology we use, and it's a lot cheaper than a fourth century solution of building a wall. Oh, and by the way, we can also increase the intelligence that we're collecting on drug trafficking organizations, kingpin human smugglers, and stop that problem before it actually gets to our border.
So part of this is talking about land rights and eminent domain. You hit on that. There's another side that deals with the economy and the border economies as well.
Yes, you can secure the border and facilitate the movement of goods and services at the same time. We've been working hard on a presidential permit for the city of Presidio. Presidio is on the U.S. side. Ojinaga is on the Mexico side. This used to be a major transshipment point to San Angelo to get cattle and move feed in the opposite direction. We should be repairing our ports of entry. We should be facilitating more commerce moving back and forth. And this is an important part to not just the border. I always tell people that commerce along the border impacts every other part of the country. And we can facilitate that and stop bad guys all at the same time. It's going to require us to be smart, and it's going to require us to use the people's money. That taxpayer dollars that gets sent up here, we should be good stewards of it and using it to the most effective way possible.
So you mentioned it, the movement back and forth of goods brings up the North American Free Trade Agreement, probably the most popular free trade agreement the U.S. has signed on to. The administration has already set the timetable on that to renegotiate it. What are you seeing?
Well, I think NAFTA 2.0, NAFTA can be improved. 23 years ago, a lot of things are very different. The word Eagleford wasn't on people's lips 23, 24 years ago. You couldn't have foreign direct investment in the Mexican energy industry. So I think energy and streamlining the regulatory environment between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada on energy is a big way that we can improve NAFTA. Another area is when it comes to technology. The internet wasn't used the way it is now 23, 24 years ago. And we could pass agreements on data and data economy and the internet that can be the foundation for other agreements throughout the world. And when it comes to agriculture, you know, NAFTA allowed us, allowed beef exports to $2.1 billion markets, right? And that was good for that industry. And when it comes to agriculture, the U.S. and Mexico view threats to our agriculture economies in a very similar way, which was different than when NAFTA was first renegotiated. President Trump, Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada, and the Mexican President Peña Nieto have all agreed that we can improve NAFTA, and we should. And we should make sure that when we do achieve NAFTA 2.0, that it increases North American competitiveness in other parts of the world.
You mentioned Mexico and the president. I know you've been to Mexico. What's the feeling south of the border regarding this?
Well, you know, people are concerned about the relationship, but they start realizing that the U.S.-Mexico relationship is bigger than any one person in the White House or Los Pinos. Los Pinos is the Mexican version of the White House, and that the relationship between the two countries is broad and deep, and that we are, you know, we're married with a whole lot of kids, right? We can't be divorced, and we got to figure out ways that we improve that bilateral relationship. And again, I think Texas is a perfect example of how the rest of the nation should be following. And I think when folks remember that Mexico is the number one or number two trading partner of more than 30 states in the U.S., that the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, we build things together. 40% of the inputs that go into a Mexican product come from the United States. That number is 25% from Canada, and to have some comparison, in China, that's only 4%. So our economies are linked, and when we all do better, right, when one of us do better, we all do better. And so folks are realizing that this relationship is important, but we have to renegotiate NAFTA and get this done this year, so that we can put any uncertainties aside and make sure markets stabilize and can start talking about North American competitiveness in other parts of the world.
So, last question here for you, and we've talked really all around this, border security being one of those. There are those who stand up and say we need a wall. There are others that say no wall. What you're saying is we can satisfy both sides. How important is it to start listening and start communicating and start showing each other that we can have differing opinions?
You're 100% right. I think it's important to fight for your beliefs and what you believe in, but we can disagree without being disagreeable, and we can focus. You know, one of the things I've learned as I've crisscrossed this country is that we agree on more than we disagree, and oftentimes we forget that, and we focus on the edges where there's some disagreement rather than what actually unites us as a country and unites us as Americans. And so we have to realize that, you know, look, up here in Washington, D.C., we battle it out every single day. But my colleagues that I may be arguing with one minute, I have to remember that they're here because they want to keep this the greatest country on the planet. And we have to be a little bit more civilized in our conversation. And we have to recognize we're Americans first. And let's focus on those things that we agree on, and be willing to work together. And I've learned recently that the word bipartisanship is not a dirty word. Whether you're liberal or conservative, what I think the American people want to see is that we actually get things done. And while when you see news about what's happening in Washington, you only see things focused on the dysfunction. You never see where things actually work together. And last year, we had a lot of good successes. The Every Student Succeeds Act. There's no longer a one-size-fits-all solution to education in the United States of America. The FAST Act, which was the largest and longest investment in infrastructure in the history of our country. And then the 21st Century Cures Act, where we said, hey, we should be able to beat cancer, and let's put the investment that we should in basic research in order to do that. So there are some many things where we actually work together, and this is the mentality we need to have on every issue, whether it's healthcare, whether it's taxes, whether it's the next farm bill, whether it's trade.
So good to see you. Thanks for your work. Wish you the best.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Again, it's Representative Will Hurd, Texas 23rd Congressional District, and this is the Agribusiness Report.